It's usually considered cheeky to write a memoir before the age of 30, but given the life that Heather Mills McCartney has had, waiting any longer would have made her story a two-volume set. By her mid-20s, she'd already lived long and hard enough for what sounds like several lifetimes, so she published her memoir in 1995 in Great Britain under the title Out on a Limb. She's now re-released that book as A Single Step. Both of those titles allude in part to the terrible traffic accident that amputated Miss Mills' left leg. That accident, however, also added new purpose to her work as a human rights activist, an international agitator against the use of landmines. A Single Step deals extensively with her activism, her careers and passions, and yes, it touches on her romance and marriage to Sir Paul McCartney. But the book begins in abject poverty. She grew up in the north of England with two sisters, a brother, an absent mother, and an abusive father. When we spoke with Heather Mills McCartney from London this week, she told us how she began life as a thief.
Yeah, my mum left when I was 9, and I sort of brought the family up until I was 13 when my father went to prison. But he would give us the equivalent then of $1.50 now and expect us to get the shopping in for the week. So he absolutely knew we had to steal, but just never mentioned it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you even have, without revealing any secrets, you even have kind of a how it's done when you talk about, I guess, hiding loaves of bread away at Selfridges and supermarkets. Did you figure that out for yourself?
It was my sister, actually, that taught me that. She got a riding hat, and it worked out perfectly that you could just slip something under the riding hat. And we'd put one item into the shopping bag and then the other item into the basket so that we'd actually go through the tills. And it looked like we'd been shopping elsewhere. So it meant, you know, you didn't get beaten up when you got home, so you were prepared to take that risk.
Her father was a bully, as well as delusional. He believed he was the reincarnation of composer Richard Wagner. When he went to prison for credit fraud, young Heather went to her mother in London, but she did not stay with her long. When Heather Mills was 13 years old, she did what many children of any age dream of doing. She joined a carnival.
We'd been going there for about 2 weeks. It was on Clapham South, in the south of London. And I used to go and play on the rides and things like that. So when it was time for me to have to go, my mother said either you go or her partner at the time would go, Charles. So I lived on the fair for a number of months and just worked the rides. But unfortunately, one of the guys on the fair died from a drugs overdose and the police had to come and I was illegally there. So I had to then go and live on the streets because I was too proud to go back and ask my mum to have me back.
You lived in a box for a while.
I lived a cardboard box and blankets and all that kind of stuff. But it's funny because people go, oh, but you were homeless. It must have been terrible. But when you've had an abusive sort of childhood, it's a feeling of freedom when you finally, you know, get out and you've got no fear because when you've had a father like I had, I've never been afraid of anyone since or ever will in my life. So for me, it was, I just always knew in my heart of hearts that I was going to do well and I was going to be fine. And, I just sort of kept my focus on that. And it was when I was under the arches and I woke up one morning, I could hear the sound of running water and then this horrendous stench and, my hair was soaked and I turned around and this tramp had sort of urinated right next to me and it soaked into my hair. And I thought, right, okay, I've got to get out of here now. And then I got my first job in a croissant shop, pretending I was older. And the guy said, you can eat as many croissants as you like. And he didn't realise I had a huge appetite because I was a very skinny kid. And I think I must have been eating 20 croissants a day because I got sacked after a week.
But with the next career change came a bit of unlikely luck, an arrest for theft.
I was working at a jewellery store and there was two guys that worked at the jewellers and they were always stealing things and I was always getting accused of it and I hadn't done anything. But every week one little thing would go missing and I'd get blamed. Mm-hmm. And so in the end I just rebelled and I took a roll of gold chains. And I was pretty stupid because I went and sold it to the jewellers 1 mile away. I was pretty naive at the time.
Signed your name on the form.
And signed my name on the form, exactly. Yeah. You know, just totally daft because I just had never had any direction on how things should be. And then mm-hmm. I was lying in bed and the police turned up and I got dragged down to a cell 2 miles down the road. And my mother left me in the cell for the night as a lesson, which wasn't a bad idea. So that just kind of woke me up and I went, right, this is not the right path and I should look into other avenues of earning an income.
You became a model, but it should be said, first off, it wasn't Balenciaga or Givenchy, but I think you describe it in the book, the girl holding the widget.
I was with a guy, and he kept saying, oh, you should go into modelling. And I said, I don't really want to go into modelling. You know, I always thought of myself as the ugly duckling. I was always the skinny, lanky girl with the buck teeth at school. So the last thing I ever thought was to become a model. And he sent some pictures off to a newspaper that he'd taken, some swimwear pictures. And the next thing I know, I got a phone call that said, you've won the model. You're in the final for this modelling competition, the Mirror Dream Girl competition. I said, I haven't entered a competition. And he said, well, your picture's been sent in and this is the contact number we've got. And I said, well, OK, I'll try it. So I went along and I got in the last two models of the final or something. And then they said, oh, you know, you should get an agent. And I went to every single agency in London and they all said, forget it, you could never be a model. You're too tall, you're too short, you're too fat, you're too thin. And they said, you should do glamour modelling because you're very big busted. So I went and did some topless modelling. And then I saw the pictures and I went, you know what, I don't really like this. So that lasted for a few months and then I gave that up. And I purposely went on to become a successful model just to prove the people wrong that had actually told me I could never model and would never become successful at it.
A ski instructing job in Yugoslavia in the early 1990s brought Heather Mills McCartney to a part of the world that would soon be plunged into crisis and suffering. In Slovenia, she helped out with refugee aid, volunteering and also modeling in nearby Austria to help pay for the convoys of food and medical supplies to be delivered to the refugees who were displaced by the conflict. August of 1993 put Ms. Mills back in London.
I got just down the road from the Royal Albert Hall and heard these two police cars go flying by with their sirens on and then two police motorcycles. So I sort of stepped back and went, whoa, they're going fast. And there was a red double-decker bus to my right. And I took a step, took another step, and then looked behind the bus and took another step, nothing coming. And a police motorcycle just came from behind the bus, chopped my leg off, punctured my lung, split my head open, crushed my pelvis. I went one way, the leg went the other. And they announced me dead, about to die, to my sister four times. And I managed to survive.
I mean, I the news of your injury was a big news story in Britain, the maimed model. And you describe in the book how tabloid reporters kind of descended on your hospital room. But you made a point of selling your story to them, didn't
you? Absolutely, yeah. When I was in the hospital and they kept turning up and the nurses said, please get rid of them, you know, they won't go away. And I got them in the room and I lined them up and I said, what do you want? And they said, we want a story. And I had no parents to fall back on. I had three mortgages. I was funding my brother, my sister and a number of friends and refugees. And I said, well, how much are you going to pay for this story? And they said, oh, well, we don't pay for the story. I said, well, get out. You know, I want to listen to some of my music. Why do I need to sit and talk to you guys? So they went off and then their editors got on the phone and said, look, what do you want? And we hit a mutual deal. And initially it was very selfish and it was survival skills. But within weeks, the response I got from the public saying it was an inspiration, it made them think about their lives and what they could do and how they could overcome things. And the me and the media between us put me in a position of being a role model and taking the stigma away for disability.
The power of her disability has made her a formidable advocate for amputees. She's traveled the world in behalf of landmine victims and people who have lost limbs in any other way. And it was while doing that work that the life of Heather Mills banked and veered in yet one more turn. She caught the eye of Sir Paul McCartney.
He'd spotted me at a award ceremony where I gave a girl that lost her arms and legs an award. She'd lost them from meningitis and she was a pianist and a biologist, amazing girl. And Paul spotted me, but I never spoke to him and he kept ringing up my house and leaving messages. But I was in Cambodia and then when I got back from Cambodia, I had dengue fever, I was really ill. And then I met Paul and then we got together months later as a couple. And I kept quiet, not knowing that he was doing interviews and saying wonderful things about me. And then I looked like this bitch that wouldn't talk at all and was saying, screw you, to the media that I'd had a relationship with. So they got the knives out, not understanding for a second the predicament that I was in, that there wouldn't be a relationship if I did what they wanted, which was a kiss-and-tell story.
On their wedding day, the McCartneys released only one photograph to the public. And since then, Ms. Mills McCartney has sought to repair her relations with the press, so it was at Sir Paul's suggestion that she updated and re-released her memoir, co-written with Pamela Cockerill. Heather Mills McCartney spoke with us from the studios of the BBC in London. The entire interview is available at npr.org. And, of course, we asked Mrs. McCartney, who is a lifelong fan of classical music, what her favorite Beatles song is.
Ooh, She's Leaving Home, Michelle, Here, There and Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And my favourite Paul song would be Here Today, the one he wrote for John Lennon. That is one of the most moving songs I heard. And the only reason I know them is because I've just been on tour whilst doing my work with him around America. And you were here today.
Ooh, for you were in my song. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.